brag on her a little bit. Wasn't that beautiful this morning? Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise for her. She don't like me to do that, so I'm going to pay for that, buddy. Y'all pray for me. Now, I wanted to, I got to looking at that song, I said, man, that's one of my favorite. But I just felt such a strong leading to go ahead and get into the message this morning. And I love the music and thank God for it. But I want you to turn to the book of Luke, chapter 18. Thank the Lord for his presence. Thank the Lord for you being here today. Glad to have everyone here today. If you're listening by radio, we're glad to have this multitude that's here this morning. Turn to the woman beside him and tell them, welcome. And they look good today. The Lord has really been dealing with me in a very special way. I thank God for the last 43 years. He's been leading me and guiding me in his word because he knows that I am all insufficient and don't have what it takes. But with him, all things are possible. But I felt such a strong anointing lately, and it's like you can know when he's wanting to really talk to you. And so he's wanting me to begin to deal with the atmosphere of expectancy, supernatural. And as I begin to pray about that, a lot of people don't understand the supernatural. I don't understand a lot about the supernatural. And as everything goes, Satan always has a counterfeit. So we're all getting leery sometimes to things we don't understand. But we know that when you serve God and worship him and live for him, we have to know some realm of the supernatural because he is a supernatural God. And so God began to lead me to the book of Luke, if you will, turn to Luke chapter 18. And we're going to read a very familiar scripture to you, but I pray that I'll be able to go a little slower today because I really want you to get this word. Sometimes I have a tendency to get hyper and kind of rush through things, but I really, really feel in my spirit God wants to speak to us today, and he wants us to learn because as we move forward to the coming of the Lord, you're going to have to understand the supernatural because the natural is going to fail you. The natural is going to continue to fall and fail. So we're going to have to get to a place that we're not moved by the circumstances. We're not moved by what we see. We're not moved by what we hear, but we know what we know. Amen. And we know our God is an awesome God, right? So we're going to learn more about that. But this is the story here of blind Bartimaeus. And so, and I read this, as God began to deal with me about this, I'm like you, I read through it, and you know, we think we know all there is to know about it, but how many of you know the word of God is deep, and there's a lot more to learn? And so, I want to start with verse 34. A lot of times people start with verse 35, but verse 34 really explains where we're at as a situation of a church world, as knowledge and all that goes. So it said, now he's talking to the disciples here. You got to understand, he has been talking to them about he's getting ready to leave. He's getting ready to be crucified. He's getting ready to ascend on the third day. And he's doing all of this so that they might express power, so that they might go move forward and carry the gospel forward. All right? He's telling them this, but look what verse 34 says. And they understood none of these things. They understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them, neither they knew they the things which were spoken. Now you're talking about the disciples here. You're talking about the ones that Jesus has spent 3 years with, and at this point, 3 years later, they don't have a clue. Because you got to understand that God is a supernatural God and he operates in the supernatural. Amen. He operates beyond the natural. Our problem is we try to bring God in the natural realm of understanding, and if we can't understand it, then we have a hard time believing it. The Bible says without faith, it's what? Impossible to please God. So look what he said. Jesus brings in a story here, and he said, and it came to pass that he come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man was set by the wayside begging. Now I want to take my time here because I want you to get this. Do you think it's God's will for us to be beneath or above? Do you think it's God's will for a man to be sitting by the wayside begging? Okay, this is what his lifestyle had become that. Do you think it's the will of God that we live beneath the standards God has for us? Do you think it's the will of God that we live life hoping so, maybe I'll just run up on some good luck here and there and things will work out? Do you think it's the plan of God? Naturally, as you look at things, it seems impossible. But I want you to know with God, all things are possible. So here's the man sitting by the wayside, begging. Beneath. Ask yourself right now a question. Are you everything God wants you to be? Do you have everything God wants you to have? Are you where God would have you to be right now? Think about that. All right, and then verse 36, and hearing the multitude pass by, he asked, what's going on? And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by. Now, I want you to note the word they. That's going to be a powerful word in a little while. They said, oh, Jesus is coming. Now, I'd be kind of excited if I knew that. But there, Jesus of Nazareth, he's coming by. And verse 33 says, he cried saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Look at the next verse, verse 39. You see that word again? They. Understand they. They is the one who operates in the natural. They is the one who dares to trust God. They are the ones who says it can't be done. Sorry, it said. And they which went before rebuked him. Now, these are the ones that Jesus has been teaching for 3 years. Amen? Jesus has been teaching, and they're rebuking him for calling on Jesus. Be careful of the theys, all right? That he should hold his peace. But he cried so much more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He needed help. He needed ministry. He needed somebody to help him. And the ones that could help him are telling him to be quiet. You're blind. You got an impossible situation. All right, look at verse 40. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what will thou that I should do to thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. This man had a need. This man had a supernatural need. And look at the next verse. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith, not they, but thy faith. Look, it says, thy faith hath saved thee. And verse 43 said, and immediately he received his sight, and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people saw it and gave praise unto God. Now, we've read this hundreds of years in our lifetime. We've read this story, and we don't, any of us, really understand miracles. We don't really understand how this happens. It's a confusion part, but you got to understand a couple of things. Go back to verse 34, and they understood none of these things. This is where God wants me to begin to articulate a little bit this morning about this. I want you to understand that the presence of God creates atmosphere. God wants us to begin to understand and seek the supernatural so that we can begin to develop an atmosphere of expectancy. How many of you know if you accept what the world gives you, you are always going to be down? All right? I want to break it down a little bit like this. I want to begin, first of all, I want to talk about the condition of the blind Bartimaeus. Now we say, of course, he was blind. It's a physical condition. But I want you to understand that God is not talking just about physical here. He's talking about spiritual. He's talking about those that are blind, even though they can see with their eyes, but they're blind in their hearts. You got to understand, in the last days, there's a spirit of Antichrist, and there's a spirit of Antichrist that tells you, put your trust in yourself, put your trust in government, put your trust in how you can figure things out, but God is not going to help you during these times. How many of you know that's the spirit of Antichrist? And Antichrist is always Antichrist. We got that part. And so Antichrist always tells you, don't expect anything. Don't expect. You take what you get, you do the best with it that you can, and you just hope to make it to the end. Have you ever heard that? I'm just going to do the best I can and hope to the end. How many of you know Jesus' will was not for this man to be sitting by the side of the road begging? God did not raise you up to be beggars. God did not raise you up to be somebody that hopes and maybe so God's going to hear my prayer. I wonder if he's going to hear my prayer. How many of you know God loves you so much that he gave his son for you? All right? I want you to understand something here. Blind Bartimaeus was blind physically, but all the days that were around him were blind in their hearts. I want you to look at verse 35. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man was sitting by the wayside begging. Here's what I want to talk about that. Up at this point in blind Bartimaeus' life, he had accepted the atmosphere of darkness. He had accepted things as they are. I want you to understand, from the beginning of time, there's always been light and there's always been darkness. Darkness is the natural. We got lights this morning. If we didn't have lights, it'd be dark in here. When God stepped forth out of nothing, he said, let there be light. I want you to understand, it's the will of God. You got to get this. It is the will of God that you walk in revelation. Because revelation, light, always dispels the darkness. Now, blind Bartimaeus was blind. He was dark. And he had accepted this condition. How do you know that? Because he was sitting by the wayside. We're going to talk about that in a minute. He had his little cup. He had everything he needed to survive where he was. But where he was is not where God would have him to be. Where you are right now, I can promise you this, spiritually, God wants you to have more. How many of you know God is big enough that you can't never get all of God that you want? And God wants you to understand that there is an atmosphere that tells you, accept where you are. I want you to understand, light disrupts darkness. You got to get that. Light disrupts darkness. Now, hold your finger there and let's go to the book of John. Light disrupts darkness. If you come in here Sunday after Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever, and you just accept whatever comes your way, I hope I have a good day. I hope I make it through the day. I just accept what comes. Guess what? Darkness is going to overwhelm the light. But when you turn the light switch on, darkness has to flee. Amen? Darkness has to flee. I want you to get this, because God is a spirit and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And you can't judge the darkness with the light, because light will always override the darkness. When you're going through things, and I got to give it to you the way God gave it to me, but in some people's life, there is no expectancy of nothing. Christian people. Well, I wonder what in the world we're going to do in this world. Boy, I sure hope that whoever's running for president now, Joe Doe, whatever, I hope that he gets it, or I hope that they get it. Boy, America, really, you want to know what? America is natural. America's in darkness, and darkness cannot help darkness. But you are children of the light. You are supposed to walk in revelation. You see, Christians have gone so cold and so far away from what God wants us to be that church has just become a performance. And it's like a TV show. Some we like, some we don't like. And we just turn it off, and when 7:30 comes or whatever, and it goes through 30 minutes, and you go to the next show, and well, I liked it today, and I didn't really care about it today, but it didn't move us. God called us to be movers. And we're to impact everybody we're around, but if you don't believe it, then nobody else is going to believe it. Are you listening? Or are you sleeping with your eyes open? Got some of you, didn't I? Go to the book of John because I want you to get this. I mean, this thing's been pouring in me. I'm like a racehorse this morning. It's been pouring in me because it's affecting my life, because there's things in my life I know God wants to do, and I need to be more than what I am, and I have allowed the darkness, and I have allowed being satisfied. Well, this is just, you know, my plight in life. God we serve is a big God. So he carried me to the book of John. Here's another scripture that we can tell God, you know, we know this God. In the beginning, chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. You remember that? And when God was standing on nowhere and all that, we talked about that. And he said, let there be light. It wasn't just sunlight. It was revelation light. When God created this world, he created it for his people. Hell was made for the devil and his angels. Earth was made for God and his people. Adam and Eve were told in the beginning, this is yours. They named the fish, they named the trees. I mean, how in the world they come up with this is a mulberry bush and that's the, I don't know. But they did it. It's theirs. The devil came in with his lies and his darkness and said, oh, it's not yours. He stole something out of the garden that did not belong to him. The devil has no place in your life, in your home, in your job, in the world. He is a defeated foe. And the same crowd that Jesus was trying to get this through, none of these things meant anything to them. They didn't understand. You want to know why? Because they were judging everything. Listen, in the beginning was the Word. When God stood out of nowhere and spoke the world to existence, he spoke light and he spoke revelation. This world will be guided by revelation. What is revelation? How many of you know that we have a mind, a body, and a spirit? Y'all got a body, right? You got a mind and you got a spirit. And God speaks. I remember when I was with my mom and she was dying of cancer, and I remember so vividly when she breathed her last breath, it was like a transformation. It was unreal. I never thought I could ever handle that, but God was there with me. He'll be with you. I'll tell you this, he will be with you when you don't think he can be with you. But when she breathed that last breath, her whole body changed. And I walked away from that, man, when the spirit leaves the body, you know, I'm telling you, but she's a lot better than I am today. Amen. How many of you know they're just waiting on us? They're just waiting on us. So the world was created with revelation. How do you live? What's the first thing you do every day? How important is the opinion of the world and the opinion of everybody else to your day? I'm going to tell you what, this world is so full of fads and fashions. They got to have the lattes and the tates and all that, whatever, all that. They got to have all that. And then they go to CNN and you know, they tell what news, you know, all this stuff. And then they kind of judge their day by what it says. But we need to learn to start going to God because he's the one who created revelation. Are you getting anything out of this? And they said, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And I like this next statement. The Word is God. The Word was God. Now keep on reading here, because God showed me something that I've just overlooked all these years. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. All things were made by him. And without him, was not anything made. Now here's the good part. In him was life. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. What was his life? His life was revelation. Light. Now look at the next part. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now that's power. I got to read that again. That bears repeating. I used to have a professor. I used to love him here and say that. The light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You are never going to get world opinion and world philosophy to understand the things of God. We are natural beings, and we are limited to natural, and we have to deal with natural. But you've got to understand, when you've gone as far as you can go, you've got to put it in the hand of a God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond what you think or ask. Amen. Blind condition. And then you got to get this part right here. Blind Bartimaeus' condition was he was blind. But here's it goes a little deeper. He had gotten used to the darkness. That's revelation right there. That's where the church world is today. That's where, you know, all these things that's going on, they don't really move nobody anymore. All this sin that's going on in the world today, everything that's happening in the world today, it don't move anybody. You don't know, nobody ever talks about it. We just kind of gotten used to the darkness, and we just kind of do our thing. They do their thing. How many of you know this is our world? God put us here, and we have a right to be here. Amen. I got a right to pray when I eat my meal. I got a right to worship God. I got a right because I was here first. Amen? You are somebody. Just because you got morals and just because you got standards, it doesn't mean, well, I'm just kind of a minority. No, you're not with God on your side. You are a majority. Amen? And we need to hold our head up high and say, if God be for me, who can be against me? I don't care who wins the presidency. Because I'm not depending on them to fix everything. I'm depending on a supernatural God that one day, soon and very soon, he's going to send his angels back. He's going to send Jesus back, and we're going to be gone from here. I believe in the rapture. Amen. I believe you say, well, can that really happen? He's already done it one time. You remember Enoch? Enoch was and he was not. That's going to be a good day when we was not. Amen. Look at the one beside of you. You're going to be a was not one day. Amen. You got to get this right here. I know I keep saying that. He got used to the darkness. You ever sit in a room and when lights first go out, you kind of daze a little bit, but if you sit there long enough, you think you can actually see some stuff. And you kind of, like when the lights go out in the storm or whatever, you sit there a while. After about an hour or so, you just kind of make do. You see what's happened in America. God has been taken out, and it bothers us a little bit, but now it really don't even budge us too much. And we just kind of learn how to maneuver in the darkness. We know our life is not right. We know we're not where we ought to be with God. We know we got a bad temper. We know we got this. We know we gossip too much. We know we watch too many soap operas. We know we do all of that. We know that it's not what it ought to be, but we don't really get moved about it because we've gotten used to it. Y'all still love me? Three of you love me. Thank you. Thank you. You got to get this and I'm going to close. Yeah, right. He got used to the darkness. Let me give you a couple things there. I'm telling you, this. I don't know how long this sermon is going to go because it really is not a sermon. We're just talking. We're just talking. Get another cup of coffee because we're just talking. He got used to the darkness. This was his condition. He got used to the darkness. And the next thing, he's sitting in the darkness. Now we could have understood if the Bible had said he's standing. It'd be like he's fighting. It'd be like he's not going to accept it. I'm not. But he was sitting. Well, whatever will be, will be. I'm going to tell you something. When you start trying to walk in the supernatural, and you start trying to believe God for things, you will not enjoy negativity. You will not enjoy being around negative people, because when you start believing God for change, you know what a lot of churches do today? They come in every Sunday and they just want to see what's going to happen. Something different happens, like, you know, we change a little something here and there. That kind of messes up for a few minutes, but we really just kind of come in to kind of see what happens, and then we just kind of leave. And you know what? We kind of expect things to be like they are. God is speaking this morning. There's revelation. He was sitting in the darkness. Where are you with God today? Where is your relationship with God today? I mean, I know we all say, you know, you talk to people today, you witness to people today, and you say, well, where are you at with God? Well, I go to church. That's the first thing they say. I go to church. I don't go much, but I go to church. You know, I go to church. And see, that's you know what? I'm not kicking them, because that's how they relate their relationship with God. They relate their relationship with God by going to church, and that's okay. But I want to tell you, church can't save you. Preachers can't save you. Doing good can't save you. The Bible says you got to believe on Him and confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, and He says you'll be saved. So salvation is a relationship between God that doesn't have anything to do with a building. Amen? You got to understand, He was sitting in the darkness. He was blind. He was sitting in the darkness. Y'all coming back next Sunday? I'm really nice today. I hadn't really said nothing real mean. But where do you want to be with God? Where do you want to be with God? Are you comfortable where you are right now? Because you know what? Nobody can change you but you. Nobody can draw you closer to God but you. He was sitting in the darkness. And here's the next point. He was living in the darkness. But thank God He got to a place, and I'm going to stop right here, because the next part we're going to talk about, and I'm going to give you just a little insight. The next part we're going to talk about is coping with the darkness, because He had learned to live in the darkness. If you ever go to the grocery store and you pay your bill, and let's say that your bill is $90 and you give the person a $100 bill, do you want your $10 back? Yeah. I'm going to beat her down in the ground if she don't give my $10 back. Yeah, you know, I want my $10 back, you know. But it's like in God, He's got all this riches for us, and we just accept whatever. You're just going to walk away. She didn't give me my $10, so I guess I'm not going to get my $10 today. I'm just going to walk out the store. No, God's got more for you, but there can't no preacher, there can't a program, there can't nothing change that but you. God wants you to, wants all of it. I'm not just preaching to you, I'm preaching to me too. Because we've got to get stirred, because it's easy to live in the darkness. But the next point is coping with the darkness. And here's the point I'm going to get you to think about this week. Blind Bartimaeus, the second point was coping with the darkness. And we're going to start there next week. He had developed a system to support his dysfunction. He was not where God wanted him to be. He was not what he could be. He had allowed darkness to come in and settle. He had developed a system to support his dysfunction. And he had taken his dysfunction and called it normal. He had adapted to it. He had adjusted to it. And he accommodated it. That's how we do today. In America today, you don't have to work no more. We'll just give you a check. You know why? Because we've adapted a culture. We developed a culture that has trained people. You don't have to be anything. Just lie a little bit, cheat a little bit, and you can get this and that and the other. You know, we've lost that, because you know why? We're coping with the darkness. And I want to tell you, God has great things in store for Northview, but in these last days, He's just not going to pour it out on you. You're going to have to get a hunger for it. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. And I feel led this morning. I'm going to ask you today to do something. How many of you here today want everything God's got for you? Raise your hand. Want everything. Well, this message right here is talking about supernatural. It's talking about the atmosphere of the supernatural. We're going to have to stop dealing with the misfunction and all that and start saying, God, I believe you can do more. So here's what I feel led in my heart to do. I tell you, I really do. I'm going to ask you to take somebody's hand beside of it. I want you to come to this altar, and I want us to have a closing prayer in this altar today. And in this closing prayer, it's going to be like a rededication to God and saying, Lord, we want everything we got, we want from you. We want everything we want from you. I felt very strong about this. I felt very strong. I want us to come and want us to pray as a group, as a church. Lord, let revival begin in me. Let it begin in me. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy, your grace. Lord, in obedience to your word, we come today, Lord, and we stand in this altar, in this church, as a church. And God, we call out on you, and we lay our heart on this altar for you today, Lord, and we say, God, have mercy on us. Help us, oh God, to see the dysfunction. Help us, oh God, to see what we need. And then, God, help us to do something about it. We pray, Lord, that as we walk in darkness, that we'll not get used to it, but, God, we'll begin to seek the hunger to walk in your revelation. Help us, Lord, not to cope with it. Help us, Lord, not to just exist with it, but help us to be more than a conqueror, Lord, through you. Help us, Lord, to overcome. Help us, Lord, to start dealing with our fears and our failures, oh God. Help us, Lord, to deal with our lack of faith. And help us, Lord, to deal with the things that's wrong in our lives. Help us, Lord, not to run from you, but to run to you. And God, we as a church come and stand in this altar today as a total commitment to recommit ourselves unto you to have all that we can be for you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in Northview. We thank you, God, that you're going to continue to work. And we give you the praise and the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name.